This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Many African governments have been slow to respond and implement some of the preventative measures to limit both the incursion of the virus within countries, but then to try to contain its spread within countries. Again, to be fair, none of us have experienced any sort of pandemic on this scale in our lifetime.
That was Joseph Siegel, Director of Research at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies on how Africa has responded to the COVID-19 pandemic. Details coming up. Also, a mobile alert created in South Africa is taking the lead in putting information about coronavirus into the hands of millions. And today is the International Day of Reflection on the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda. Those stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. While much remains unknown about the trajectory of the coronavirus outbreak in Africa, some countries have declared a national state of emergency or imposed curfews, while others resorted to a range of measures to prevent the spread of the virus. The World Health Organization said the relatively low number of coronavirus cases in Africa is probably due to undetected cases or unreported ones. VOA senior analyst Mohamed El-Shenawi spoke with Joseph Siegel, Director of Research at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, about the explanation and Africa's response to the global pandemic.
Yes, I think without a doubt we're seeing fewer numbers of reported cases in Africa than probably actual numbers of infected people. We should say, I mean, that's a problem that we're seeing around the world because of the challenges of getting enough testing kits out. And so it's a challenge we're seeing in Africa as well. That's a challenge because that then limits the information and knowledge we have about just where the virus is taking hold, and that then limits the opportunities to isolate those cases and give treatment and to report to the public about what's going on.
Individual countries' responses varies in Africa. Some countries imposed a range of measures to prevent the outbreak of coronavirus, while others declared a national state of emergency. What's your general assessment of the Africa response to the global pandemic?
I think in Africa, really, as we've seen around the world, it's been a challenge to try to fully grasp the extensiveness of the threat that's out there. And as a result, many African governments have been slow to respond and implement some of the preventative measures to limit both the incursion of the virus within countries, but then to try to contain its spread within countries. Again, to be fair, none of us have experienced any sort of pandemic on this scale in our lifetimes. And, you know, the thought of lockdown and restricting movements to the scale we've seen really wasn't contemplated even a few weeks ago. So it's taken a very significant shift in thinking, and then to try to move forward and implement that. You know, I should say, still in some 30 countries or so in Africa, the number of reported cases is below 100. And so there's still an opportunity for aggressive action to try to isolate those cases, prevent intra-household, intra-community transmission, and in that way try to contain the further spread and the debilitating effects that they may have for the broader society.
Algeria, Egypt, and Morocco are among few African countries that have strong health systems. However, the three countries acquired the top numbers of proven infected cases in Africa. Why?
Well, I think the fact that they have the stronger health systems is actually closely correlated with the number of reported cases. In fact, the analysis that we have done shows that the strong health systems, exposure to international contacts, and size of your urban population, those three factors strongly correlate with the number of reported cases we're seeing on the continent today. And so I take it as a strength that those countries have a strong enough system that at least they're identifying the cases and reporting them so that some action could be taken. They're also at the front lines in terms of treating those cases. And in fact, the information that they're obtaining and sharing with the public is the most important thing that can be done for raising public awareness and helping the governments and communities respond to the crisis. You know, it's those countries that either don't have the capability or have been reluctant to share that information that I think are at greater risk because they don't really know where the cases are and the public doesn't know how best to respond and to try to protect themselves.
That was VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawy speaking with Joseph Siegel, Director of Research at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies. A mobile alert created in South Africa is taking a lead in putting information about coronavirus into the hands of millions. VOA Salem Salamon has the story.
A WhatsApp bot developed by a South African organization is helping millions of people around the world get the latest information about the coronavirus. At the time the virus broke out, PrayKill.org had already created digital tools to help people in the developing world improve their health and well-being. One of their most successful was called Mom Connect, a mobile phone service giving expectant mothers vital information about pregnancy milestones and linking them to services. Gustav Preykild, the founder of PrayKill.org, saw a similar need for information relating to coronavirus. The South African government had set up hotlines, but they were unable to handle the massive volume of calls and misinformation was spreading quickly.
We were worried that our users wouldn't have access to a trusted source of information. So people, you know, hear rumors and they hear stories and people get panicky and worried about what they should do to keep themselves healthy, especially as all the lockdowns started happening.
PrayKild created COVID-19 Health Alert, offering a WhatsApp-based helpline, real-time data, and automated responses to common questions in numerous languages.
Looking for the latest coronavirus updates? Stop searching or panicking and start chatting. Just add 06-00-123-456 to your contacts and start a conversation on WhatsApp with the word hi. Here you can get the latest news and tips.
Within the first 10 days, the bot had 3.5 million users, and PrayKild partnered with the World Health Organization to create a similar bot to reach a global audience. One of the primary goals is to counter false information about the pandemic.
We're now launching it in many, 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 many languages. And on that bot, you can find out information, but we also publish falsehoods and myths. Because sometimes what happens is you need to actively counteract the falsehoods. You can't just provide the positive information. You also have to say there is information out there that is incorrect. And there are ways that are incorrect how to deal with this pandemic. And we are actively working towards counteracting those falsehoods.
WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, is extremely popular in the developing world, where it has largely replaced Facebook and even email as the primary form of digital communication and networking. It has more than 2 billion users worldwide. In an email to VOA, Machi Jidenma, a member of the WhatsApp Partnerships and Business Development team, said, "We think the most important step WhatsApp can take during this crisis is to help connect people directly with public health officials, providing crucial updates about the coronavirus." Jidenma said the company moved quickly to make WHO Health Alert go live in as many countries as possible, including India, Singapore, Israel, Indonesia, South Africa, Nigeria, Argentina, Brazil, and the United Kingdom. "We have worked with the World Health Organization to set up WHO Health Alert and are partnering with national health ministries around the world," she said. "Each of these health alert lines provides education on myths and rumors circulating about coronavirus." PrayKild said the speed at which the bot has been adapted has been beyond expectations.
It's been unprecedented success. More than 12 million people now have accessed the WHO line in the last 10 days since we launched. And we've now launched in multiple other languages as well, including Arabic and Spanish and French and more languages to come. And so clearly people are finding the information useful.
Now it's time to see whether it's having an impact on users' behavior and health.
I think the next step will be to try and understand how people are interpreting that information and whether it's actually helping them to change their behavior.
Salim Solomon, VOA News, Washington.
South Africa is halfway through a 21-day nationwide lockdown to try to slow the spread of COVID-19. The measure is aimed at limiting contact among humans so that fewer people become infected with coronavirus. But many in the country are becoming increasingly frustrated with not being allowed to move freely, and police say they've arrested about 18,000 people for breaking the lockdown regulations. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
The police and army have thrown a cordon of roadblocks around South Africa's biggest city. Citizens are only allowed to leave their homes for essential services, such as to buy food or to get medical attention. But a big increase in traffic compared with the first week of lockdown led to the security forces suspecting that many were out and about for other reasons.
It's a lockdown, stay at home. The message that coronavirus...
A police officer lectures a motorist who's broken the law. Nearby, another man is in handcuffs after telling authorities that he was on the highway because he was rushing to visit his dying granny.
And when you cross-questioned him, he said, no, I'm going to see my girlfriend in Randburg. So there have been all sorts of excuses of people who shouldn't be on the road, but they're on the road. Others would be, my mother is sick in Diepkloof, or the shopping center in Diepkloof was full, COVID-19 is here.
Some lawbreakers resist arrest, and pushing and punching ensues.
You do not touch me again.
I've my sleeve got broken.
Who are you? Who do you think you are?
It hasn't taken long for videos to appear on social media of police and soldiers allegedly assaulting and humiliating people who apparently are not adhering to lockdown rules. In this footage, a senior army officer wielding an automatic rifle orders youths caught wandering in a township to roll in the dirt. South Africa's Minister of Defense, Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula, has appeared on TV to ask troops to restrain themselves.
You can't be heavy-handed because some of the people are doing this purely out of ignorance. But you also do have a category of people which is extremely provocative to the security services, who look like people who want to prove a point that I can do this and no one will touch me.
In townships, millions of people are expected to isolate themselves in tiny shacks with little or no food and no means to earn money. This woman says the government must end this lockdown now. Look at how angry the people are here. It's either the virus kills us or hunger kills us or the soldiers kill us. But this can't go on. We need to work.
I don't care. In my face.
I touch you because you don't want to comply.
As tension builds in communities, the state and its scientists race to procure the testing kits they hope will prevent a mass outbreak in a high-density part of South Africa. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.
The United Nations in Nigeria is extending COVID-19 prevention and preparation measures to the camps in the northeast that house hundreds of thousands of people displaced by Boko Haram violence. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
Residents of IDP camps in Nigeria's Borno state are now made to wash their hands regularly at wash basins installed all over the camps. Camps in Maiduguri, Jere, Bama, Banki, Polka, Gwoza and Gubil have posters and flyers reminding people of the importance of good hygiene and social distancing. This is part of the UN's COVID-19 emergency response strategy launched last week for the displaced and vulnerable people in Nigeria's northeast. The region has not recorded a single case of the virus, but aid workers fear the virus could sweep through the highly crowded camps. Yves Sabag is the head of public information at the United Nations Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. She spoke to VOA through a messaging app.
The United Nations is extremely concerned about vulnerable people in the country because they are at higher risk of being exposed to the virus. We're working very closely with the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and the Ministry of Health and state governments to take emergency preparedness and response measures so that we can mitigate the spread of the coronavirus to these crisis-affected areas of Borno, Adamawa and Yobe states.
These are the states where the Boko Haram insurgency group has killed tens of thousands of people since 2009. An estimated 1.8 million people are displaced from their homes there and living in densely packed camps with tents and temporary shelters. Sabak says more land is needed to spread out their tents.
Indeed, one in two camps in Borno State are congested, which basically leads to increased disease and protection risks, even without the global pandemic. So we are working very closely right now with the authorities to try and provide immediate temporary solutions, like creating isolation facilities and other shelters that could solve that issue. But what is really needed is to allocate more land for shelter and for other humanitarian actions so that we could actually improve the living conditions of the IDPs in the Northeast and their ability to practice social distancing.
Erik Batonen is the country director of the Norwegian Refugee Council, NRC, an NGO operating in about 38 camps. He said they are making changes in some of their programs to prevent the coronavirus from spreading.
We have to protect community we serve, so we are completely rethinking our ways of working to make sure that we are delivering assistance while respecting hygiene and distance concerns. For instance, in camps, we have switched the small group sensitization sections, respecting social distancing and hygiene measures.
So far, the coronavirus has been detected in 14 out of Nigeria's 36 states and infected more than 200 people in all. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja.
Today is the International Day of Reflection on the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda. Tijani Mohamed Bande, president of the UN General Assembly, said in a statement that the UN is committed to preventing genocide from ever occurring again, and there is a collective responsibility to guarantee the human rights and dignity of every person. Moussa Faki Mahamat, chairperson of the African Union Commission, said, "This day affords an opportunity to reflect and continue the fight against genocide, its ideology, denial and impunity." He points out that between April and July 1994, the world stood in awe as more than a million people were killed in 100 days in Rwanda. As the world marks the genocide today, Rwanda's government says it recently discovered a mass grave that could contain up to 30,000 bodies. Officials say word of the mass grave emerged from people convicted of genocide who are now released from prison. Cameroon is calling on people living in two villages bordering Nigeria to return from their hideouts after two teenagers detonated explosives and killed at least 10 civilians. The military says it has secured the area, but civilians maintain that the villages have been infiltrated by Boko Haram terrorists. Mokirwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Speaking via a messaging app from the northern village of Blama Kamsolu, community official Adamu Siddiqui says dozens of people have fled since Sunday night's suicide bombing, fearing Boko Haram. He says about 70 people have escaped to the bushes and nearest towns because they believe Boko Haram is coming back powerfully, especially since barely 2 weeks ago, the terrorist group killed at least 90 Chadian soldiers in the nearby Boma Peninsula. He says it is high time Cameroon protects its citizens by redeploying its military to border zones that terrorists are again occupying. Cameroon's government said in a release Monday that two male suicide bombers were spotted by civilians Sunday near the Blama Kamsulu village primary school. When the attackers noticed that they were being monitored, they rushed to the traditional ruler's palace and detonated the explosives they were carrying. Roger Safo, Secretary General of the Far North Region Governor's Office, says the blast took the lives of many villagers.
On the spot, there were 9 people killed and 16 people wounded. I want to take this opportunity to appeal to the population to be more vigilant, to be cautious, to collaborate with the force of law and security.
Safo said the wounded were transported to a hospital in the nearby town of Mora, where one later died. 9 others are in critical condition. Mijiyawa Bakari, governor of the Far North region, says he has ordered soldiers to deploy to the border villages that Boko Haram fighters have allegedly infiltrated. He says local vigilante committees should be reinforced immediately and that civilians should work in collaboration with the militias to make sure both the military and administrative authorities are informed anytime strange people are found in their villages. He says villagers should more than ever before be vigilant. On March 24, Chad's President Idris Deby announced that 92 Chadian troops were killed in a Boko Haram attack that lasted several hours. He said 24 army vehicles, including armored cars, were destroyed and captured military arms were taken away in speedboats by Boko Haram. Boko Haram has also renewed attacks on the Nigerian military with the killing of at least 50 soldiers in an ambush near Goneri village in Nigeria's northern Yobe state in March. Cameroon has not reported a large-scale Boko Haram attack for the past 2 months, but the Islamist militant group invades the territory regularly for supplies or to kidnap and ask for ransom. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. For all the latest development on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. And on behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington, thanking you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/Sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.